It is so powerful that men have died to protect it and killed to expose it. On May 19th, the secret will be revealed. Witness the biggest cover-up in human history. The Da Vinci Code.
There's a hidden message in the cinema arcade icon. It's both a cinema and an arcade.
If you look at it closely, you'll see it's both.
And a reel of film. Don't you understand that?
A reel of
film. Don't you understand the implications of this symbol? This ancient symbol?
This means video games can't be a virgin after all. No. No. I'm just going to make this be the intro. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cinemarcade. This is the podcast about movies, video games, and the sparks that fly when those two worlds collide. Today's episode is all about the 2006 film The Da Vinci Code, and I can't wait to crack that sucker. I'm albino monk Steve Guntland. Who is joining me today?
I'm Gandalf. Wait, no. Magneto. Wait, no.
Lee Teabing. Lee Teabing, his most iconic character. It's actually Justin. Hi, Justin. Welcome.
Hi, hello. It is me.
Hey, I'm a symbology expert. I got my degree from Harvard, Yale, and Oxford, because that's a thing.
He gets to really design his own curriculum.
Hit up all the Ivy Leagues.
Yeah, all of them.
Do you become a super doctor at that point?
I think you do. I think you do. You stack your degrees on top of each other.
You didn't know that Cambridge and Oxford were actually the same university and not lifelong foes.
Wait, is this another conspiracy?
This is a conspiracy.
They're all the same?
They're all rowers.
Is this like Spanish and Italian are secretly the same language?
I've actually been to the Cambridge and Oxford Club when I was living in London.
Did you really?
I had a friend who was like super rich and... she went to Cambridge. She brought me to this thing, and I was like, God damn it, this is filled with rich as fuck people.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, oh, we're going to the club.
Yeah, we're going to Le Club.
Le Club, and we just got wasted, so it was fun.
That's a great choice.
That's every club.
Yeah. We are joined today by a very special guest. We needed some help with this weighty, mm-hmm. weighty topics. We needed to bring in an expert. We brought in actress, bon vivant, raconteur.
Painter.
Literature major.
Joie de vivre. And amateur symbologist.
Code expert.
Yes, absolutely. Ashley Park is here. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I will only go by Mona Lisa the rest of the podcast.
Yes.
Mona Lisa smile, okay?
You are so like that lady with her
Thank
cryptic
you.
Smile.
Very much like Julia
Roberts. Now we're quoting Nat King Cole. excellent. We're going to have so many references.
We're going to have so many references.
This is going to be just—it's inspired. It's an inspired document.
Listen, we're leaning into the silly like pretty immediately. The wine has been flowing. We're all pretty. I think indifferent to angry about this movie.
I mean, I'm really excited to talk about the movie Mona Lisa Smile.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's a video game. It's a fighting game.
Yeah.
Dibs on Julia.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
She just bites people with their beautiful mouth.
Yeah, dibs on Rocky.
I feel like Julia Roberts could take a bitch.
Oh, yeah. I think she would bite someone. I'm not basing this on anything. I'm just like, her mouth is so magnificent.
Look,
I'm like, she would just bite a bitch.
She's from small town Atlanta. And she's rangy. She's got
Wait, really?
Like,
she's from Atlanta?
Or small town Georgia, I guess. She's from outside of Atlanta,
okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she could throw down, I think. She's been to a mud wallop.
Yeah.
That's a
thing. A mud wallop?
The classic Georgia mud wallop? You've never heard of
it?
No. Please elaborate.
Bordering on like regionalist, mister.
Regionalist?
Regionalist.
Is regionalism a thing? I can't make fun of Oklahoma either because I had a bad weekend
in
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Please elaborate on a mud wallop.
It's they get a bunch of mud and they wallop each other.
With the mud?
It's right there.
Okay, who here has been in a fight in mud?
Well, paid, well, yeah. No, no, I've never been in a fight. I've never been in a fight.
Technically, I have.
What?
Technically, I have as well. Yes.
Okay, you guys are setting feminism way back.
Look, I'm from San Antonio. The shit gets crazy down there.
That's called a San Antonio bar mitzvah, yeah. It's how they throw, it's how you become an adult.
Yeah, that's how you ascend, okay?
I highly recommend fighting in mud. It's fun.
It's fun. Hey. You slip around a bunch.
It's therapeutic for your skin and stuff, probably.
Well, depending
I don't know.
On the mud. Depending on the mud.
It doesn't really matter what
the right mud.
I can't just get mud out of the parking lot and like just go for it. Okay.
That's how you get diseases.
We had some mud on Wednesday.
Yeah, we did.
I thought my car was going to get stuck.
I tracked a lot of it in here. I just vacuumed it all up. But, you know, people at home can't see that. Poorly for you.
My car is... so muddy.
Yes.
Everything around where my feet go is just mud right now. Well, it's dirt.
Is that mud a symbol of something?
Yeah, it is.
We need to crack the code.
Yeah, is it in the shape of like the North Star or something?
Okay, we haven't even talked to, like, you have to introduce
I mentioned, okay, yeah, I mentioned the movie.
Mona Lisa smile.
This week we are talking about The Da Vinci Code, okay? And this one's kind of interesting because come with me on this one. I don't know if you guys feel the same
way. Tom Hanks and Ron Howard's most successful film
it's
of all
crazy.
Time.
It's crazy.
That alone is insane. Also, Tom Hanks is deeply unattractive in this movie.
He's such an attractive man, and he's deeply unattractive.
We will get into this. I have some opinions on Hanks.
I also feel like his acting is exceptional in this because he's actually acting like an awkward kind of like D-bag.
I wanted to kill him.
Before that escalated. Before we get into death threats against American beloved treasure Tom Hanks.
I stand by that.
Here's my kind of thing with this movie. All right, I feel like in my head, the 80s have a specific flavor. The 90s have a specific flavor. The early 2000s are always a little muddled for me.
Poorly dressed.
But this is one of those things. The Da Vinci Code phenomenon is one of those things that brings me right back to early 2000s. The same way, like, I don't know, hearing the Breakfast Club soundtrack would bring you back to the 80s. Mm. This is one of those things that feels locked in a very specific time. Because if you were not, like, alive or cognizant during this era... this book was absolutely everywhere. You could not escape this book. You were practically assigned by the government to read this book.
Did you read the book?
I read the book. Have you read the book?
Of course I read the book.
Okay, you read the book, Ashley?
Okay, I tried to, and it angered me, and I put it down.
Did you try it in its natural habitat? The airport.
An airplane,
which is where
an airport. That's where the Da Vinci Codes run free.
That is where it lives.
It is.
No, I tried reading it, and I was like, this is fucking stupid. I felt like I was reading Hop on Pop.
So I was really interested in because, like, I love history and I love symbology. And so when I first tried to read the book, I was just like, the writing is so bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, there's something in me, this chaotic chaos gremlin that loves when something intrinsically bad is like a multi-millionaire success.
Yeah.
Like, there's just like, yeah, fuck the world, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck, like, Twilight, well,
50 Shades of Grey. Like, yeah, life is meaningless. Everything's accidental.
Well,
yeah.
Like, it's not even that it's accidental. It's just that, like, some people, you just, like, you want to get a boner and you want to solve a mystery. And that's, like, that's
how did you know?
That's my Friday night.
That's
yeah.
how I live every day. Boners and mysteries. Is it my boner? That's the mystery.
That's the ultimate mystery in that one.
I'm gonna have to dig down and solve that.
I'm with you. This is one of those weird phenomenons that became like it's popular both because people liked it and because people fucking hated it because everybody had to read it. It was so big, you just had to see what the fuss was about.
80 million copies sold.
Ninth best-selling book of all time. It was the best-selling book of 2003 and 2004.
Now, Steve, how many of those were your purchases?
I never purchased the book. I will say that
you
for myself.
You only stole the book.
My roommate's girlfriend lent me the book. I read it in an afternoon because it's one of those books. Like, I will give it this. It is very compulsively readable. Every chapter is like 3 pages long. They all end with a twist. And so you're always like kind of, you're always like, God damn it. I know this is a bad book, but I have to keep reading now.
Well, it has to be 400 words long. That's like, yeah. it's not long.
It's so spaced out. There's so much like blank space in that book. It's like a 400 page book that goes by like so quickly.
It's like the tricks I used to do like in high school. Write a long like essay and I'd be like, I'm going to use really big words
I'm going to use 12.5 point font and then I'm going to
stretch those margins.
Line spacing.
Get that kerning on.
Yeah.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Let's put as much empty space on this shit as I can.
I love that Ashley was just genuinely vibing on kerning right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Get that kerning on. Make that book longer.
If the kerning is wrong, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong. It's just,
the letters have
stupid.
To have the
stupid. What
right
is kerning?
Spacing.
It's
kerning,
like the space between the
symbols.
It's symbolism.
All right. Speaking of symbolism, I have to throw this out. Is symbology a real thing? Yes or no? I don't think it's a real thing, right? It's, or did it become a real thing after this?
So you usually just call it art.
Being an English major.
Doing Sudoku every week. I don't know.
So this is just part of history or literature, is knowing like symbols and context. Like if you see a man with a lion's skin on his head, that's Hercules.
Sure.
You know, that these are the, if you see five balls of golden orbs, that's the Medici family crest. You know, these are things that are just like part of history. It's not like it makes you feel, and I think this book and this movie excels at, just making people, you see these things every day in your life and you're like, yeah, that looks like a dick.
And maybe it is.
And then you're just like, yeah, that's the symbol for the dick. When I was a teenager, so I was really into like symbols and Wicca and like all this when I was a teenager, and like the entire cafeteria was surrounded by triangles with a little cleft in the middle, and that's the cuneiform for female genitalia.
Sure.
And I was just like, hey. And no one wanted to hear it.
No. Yeah, because you were a fucking nerd.
And Justin just called you that.
And men can't find the clit. Okay.
The person who sat at my table at lunch was my mom because she was a lunch lady.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
That's so cute.
Which one of us are bigger
nerds?
That's
who's dogging on you right now. That's where you are.
That's when you know.
No, but I mean, this really was, I think the thing that this book really excelled at, and to be clear, this is the book, The Da Vinci Code, came out in 2003. It's written by Dan Brown. The thing that this thing excels at is being really stupid in a way that makes you feel very smart. Like, if you don't know anything about history, this all sounds very official. This all sounds very well vetted. Yeah.
But you've made me drink wine.
I forced you.
So I also feel like one of this is like sticking it to the man, sticking it to big Catholicism and being all like, let's face it, the Catholics have been shady as fuck.
Sure.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
M'lady.
And so the story tells you like, oh, this big Catholic organization is shady as fuck. And you're like, you know what? They are shady as fuck.
Yeah.
Not the Catholics. They haven't done anything.
No.
Not a single thing.
No, come on.
There's not a single era or period of history that has been defined by the Catholic Church.
You can't shine a single spotlight on that at all. Like, not in the least. No, I mean, it is one of those things that this became so... Part of the reason this became so successful is because it had that controversial edge, right? This is the book that the church doesn't want you to read. It's got ideas that are too controversial for the mainstream religion. And ultimately, it's like their big idea is like, oh, what if Jesus was a man and had sex one time?
He definitely fucked.
Look, have you seen
those abs?
We've been talking about those cum gutters all night. Like, we have to bring it up. We have to talk about it.
So I said this earlier. I wanted to say this on the podcast. I think the most revolutionary thing you could do is show Jesus Christ with a dad bod. Because he is ripped in every single image of him throughout time. He is fucking ripped.
Or like maybe once make him Middle Eastern. I don't know. Like just
yeah,
do
one, maybe once depict him
as a person. Our sins, okay? They're heavy.
And they work his core a lot. Yeah, definitely.
I do have a tangent just like real quick.
You're
now,
welcome
this
to
is
it.
Something that has really bothered me. I watched the latest Fast and Furious movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen
Fast and Furious X.
It takes place in Rome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why the fuck didn't they use the Pope Mobile?
The Pope Mobile?
That seems like a natural progression. They've been to space.
The current Pope doesn't always use the Pope Mobile.
Perfect. Oh. That means it's available.
It's available.
For
like, it really made me upset that I didn't see Vin Diesel and that little Pope Mobile. Maybe even Paul Walker back. They'll just like zap him back in there.
Jump
I don't
the Trevi fountain. Like, yeah, just come on. Just
huge
do it.
Huge opportunities. Anyways, I'm sorry. We can go back on
that. Was an important tangent. I appreciate
it. It's a Catholic tangent. I want to throw out a take of mine.
Okay.
National Treasure was the better movie.
I do not like that movie, and I still agree with that.
I like National Treasure. Like, it's silly.
It had a big part in my life as a kid because that was a big movie when I was 10.
Sure.
So
you're young. We get it. Oh my god. Yes. I was already 45.
No, I was watching this movie and I got to like the halfway point and I'm like, this is just religious National Treasure.
It is. Okay, I need to throw this out there too. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else, like my version that I watched of this movie was substantially longer than what IMDb said it was.
So there is
this
an
was
extended
like 30
cut that's
longer.
3 hours.
Yuck.
And there's a standard cut that's 2.5.
Okay, I think
because
I watched the extended cut.
I thought I had once again fucked myself into watching an extended cut.
I think I accidentally did. I think the version I rented was the longer version because I'm like, Jesus Christ, this thing will not
get
end.
It.
Yes. Get it? But I should talk a little bit more about the book. I want to give a little context on this. So the first book featuring symbologist Robert Langdon was published in 2000. That was Angels and Demons. And that was a moderate hit upon release. But Da Vinci Code, published in 2003, became this massive, massive, massive hit. Like we said, it sold 80 million copies. It's the 9th best-selling book of all time. And with that incredible surge in popularity, we had this massive increase in interest in like religious myth, in Holy Grail quests, and I think in conspiracy theories. Now, I'm not going so far as to say QAnon is a direct descendant of the fervor around Da Vinci Code, but this is a movie about a guy who is the one guy who can see the truth through the institutional bullshit and like is the persecuted for his beliefs. I think there's a line you can draw.
So Tom Hanks did 9/11.
I think that's the only fair assumption we can say.
Only rational.
It's the only fair assumption. Okay. Like it's really the only thing
you're
that's
true. You
heard
it here, folks.
So this book, when it came out, it was hugely controversial for like from pretty much every angle. Catholics hated it because it made them look like kind of mustache twirling villains. A lot of historians hated it because it's wildly inaccurate. Art historians hated it because it's wildly inaccurate. And a lot of other authors hated it because it may have been heavily plagiarized. The most significant part of that was
just like my high school paper.
Exactly. There's a book from 1982 called The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. It was written by three people. Michael Bygent, Richard Lee, and Henry Lincoln. It was published in 1982, and allegedly they sued Dan Brown for plagiarizing their book, and he's kind of rubbing it in their face because, all right, the name of the character, Sir Lee Teabing, Richard Lee, last name, spelled the same way. Bygent is an anagram of Teabing, and apparently Lincoln is looks exactly like the character was described in the book. So he's
I don't think he plagiarized it. I think if you read like a conspiracy theory, that conspiracy theory becomes yours.
Like
conspiracy theories is not like an actual piece of literature.
That's
you know
the
what
thing.
I mean?
These were not like reputable texts that he was plagiarizing from. These are all kind of like fringe conspiracy stuff. But like
all fan fiction.
The big conspiracy at the center of this movie and this book is the Priory of Sion. This idea of like this secret society that's established to protect the non-divinity of Christ, like the truth about Christ. That was a hoax made up in the 50s by like a French like performance artist. So like, this is a widely debunked theory that Dan Brown is building his novel off of already.
Is it a hoax or is it just like?
It was kind of.
We weren't there.
I think it was a hoax. I think he made literally up documents that didn't exist. Like, he made up corroborating evidence that didn't exist.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. You like, yeah, I like, you know.
Well,
hey,
if you're going to come up with a conspiracy theory, you should make some documents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show up.
That's where they come from.
I need charts.
Yeah. I absolutely need charts.
I thought you said charts and I was really confused.
That too.
But I think the important thing about the book is that it was such a huge success that a movie adaptation felt like an event. Like, this has an incredible built-in audience. So they kind of trotted out the best of the best that they could get. All right. So
Ron Howard.
We have Ron Howard, fresh off an Oscar win for Best Director.
And
for
our Mysterious Lost episode.
And our Mysterious Lost episode of Willow.
Richie
Cunningham. We did an episode on Willow that is lost to time. We'll get back to it eventually. We had a recording issue.
One third of it is lost to time, but it really messes with the rest of it.
It messes with the rest of it.
But I'm the one who's lost. Therefore, I'm the important part.
You're the focal point of it. Yeah, we needed to bring you back in. But yeah, so this technically is the first time we've talked on the show about Ron Howard, who was just having an incredible run at this time. He'd just been kind of minted as a Best Director winner at the Oscars. He'd had a couple of little smaller projects in between, but this was like a big blockbuster offer for him. I don't know. What do y'all think about Ron Howard in general?
Love Dallas.
Yeah? Wait, Dallas?
his daughter.
Oh, Bryce Dallas. Bryce Dallas. Okay, gotcha.
She can run in heels. I like that in a woman.
She shouldn't have had to, but she did. Yeah, yeah.
What is the
Jurassic World?
I've never seen her in Jurassic World, but I've seen her in other things, and I like her. I like her a lot. She's great in Black Mirror.
She's very talented.
And it's just like she directed a couple episodes of The Mandalorian, which I like. But it's so funny because Ron Howard is he is a good director, and I do think he makes the best possible version of this film.
I agree.
It's garbage warmed up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it is exactly that. Ron Howard is the guy you bring in. He's not
it's garbage warmed up, but in the microwave.
Oh, God.
And not
right.
There's one, like,
the fryer.
I am still sad about, like, what could have happened with the Solo film.
Me too. The Lord and Miller original cut would have been. You know, Ron Howard is the guy you bring in if you want, like, a kind of workmanlike, styleless director. Like, I don't mean that as a dig. I mean, like, he is a guy without really a distinguishable style, but he can really deliver these kind of, like, over-the-plate mainstream movies. So, like, everything from, like, Backdraft to, like, EdTV, you know, he can do these sort of, like, mid-range blockbusters, and it makes sense to bring him in for this movie.
Mid-range. This is not a mid-range. This is top of the line.
This one is definitely. This is a $125 million budget. They're bringing in Tom Hanks to star, who is kind of at the height of his power.
Horrible hair.
Horrible
hair. They got to. They shut down the Louvre so they could film there. Like, that's kind of ridiculous to think about. That's how big of a deal this movie was.
That is crazy. I did, like, think about. I do have a confession. I didn't watch the film. I have seen the film.
That's okay.
But
it's so long.
I had to rent it, and I was like, I'm not playing that game.
Just hit up Justin when you don't want to.
He'll steal
things.
Stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll have to do that. But I did watch a 2-minute recap, and I was exhausted.
Man. Yeah. You cannot even imagine.
Exhausted. But I have seen it previously, if that's fair. It's been a minute.
They have, like, some real coups in the cast here too. Even the supporting cast, it's like Jean Reno, Alfred Molina, like Jürgen Prochnow. This is Molina straight off of Spider-Man too.
Paul Bettany.
That's a hot albino.
Vision, we get Doc Ock.
Is Marion Cotillard in this?
No, she's not.
You're thinking
Magneto.
I got my French people mix up. Audrey Tautou.
Okay, I had a moment. I'm like,
sorry, wait. No, that was me being
I'm like,
French.
I don't remember anyone denying 9/11 in this movie.
I love the Edith Piaf, like, biopic.
It's
that
real
was
good.
So good. And did you guys watch, is it Nine Women?
When
Marion Cotillard sings the song, like, You Can Have It All,
yeah,
and she's doing this burlesque routine where she's like, fuck you. I love, like, if you haven't seen that film, go YouTube this fucking amazing burlesque scene with Marion Cotillard.
It's kind of the one part of that. I would argue the one part of that movie worth watching. Yeah. Like that movie's kind of.
I love Audrey Tautou.
Yeah.
That, this is the thing. Audrey Tautou is in this movie. This is her one and only like American film.
Yeah.
She is so hot right now coming off of Amelie. It came out in 2001 and it's this big crossover international hit. And she's like, everybody's just sort of like, holy shit, where did this girl come from?
She's incredible.
And she is responsible for the most incredible and intense chase sequence ever filmed using a smart car.
Maybe. Well, we're going to
watching that chase scene and I'm just like, this is one of the shittiest cars ever.
I was going to say we're going to get to the Italian job, but those aren't smart cars. No, those are minis. Mini Coopers. Yeah.
Low stakes.
Yeah.
Stakes.
It's like, they're literally the most intense and exciting footage possibly could have been made using that car.
I mean,
they did an incredible job filming that.
And I think she's like a no brainer to cast this role. Like, I think she's good in the part.
Marion Cotillard would have been.
Cotillard was not on the scene really at this point, but yeah, I would take her too.
Well, it's so interesting that they cast both characters or both actors who are actually quite known for having like an attractiveness or a sexual tension around them, and they're like no sexual tension between either one of you at all. Ever.
Which, why is that? Was it just because Tom Hanks was in hot water? Because was this around the time he was banging what's her name from Big Love?
Was that a thing that happened?
Okay, guys, I thought it was Bill Paxton who was banging.
No.
Bill Paxton was the original choice for the lead of this movie.
Oh,
and
interesting.
He passed because he was doing Big Love and apparently doing a lot of people in Big Love. Apparently, I don't know.
No, the rumor mill is I read a lot of blind items. he was banging one of the wives from Big Love because he was a producer on.
Okay,
it. The youngest one. I can't remember her name.
Jennifer
Goodwin. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, all right.
Which, yeah,
and I had never heard of that. I feel like
married at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He's been married to Rita Wilson since 88, 89.
But we don't know if they have an open marriage or not.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
It's worked out real well for Will Smith.
I literally had this discussion with my mom about famous people earlier today of like, you never know.
Everyone's so good looking in the industry. It's like, maybe everyone's just kind of like,
there was a really recent director who's married to a lesbian and they're like, yeah, we have an open marriage. We have like three partners each.
Hey.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
Gosh, he's what really famous.
Frank.
Ben.
Tom.
Shut up.
That was a meaner shut up than I intended.
You talk, but let
Clint
me Google.
Eastwood. Clint?
Hey, he wrote himself into multiple threesomes in that movie,
Coen
The Mule.
Brother, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I could see that.
Okay, so he's married to Frances McDormand, and yeah, I could see it. I mean, either way, like I'd never heard about that controversy. I know it made total sense to have Tom Hanks in this role. I am going to throw this out there.
Ethan Coen.
I'm going to throw this out there. I think this is the worst Tom Hanks performance. Okay, I'm not even going to say it's the worst. I'm going to say worst implies.
Did you see his bachelor party?
Worst would imply interesting. I'm going to say this is his least performance.
It was his giving least. Chet.
He had
Chet Hanks, the son.
Yes.
Oh.
The rapper, yes, yeah. I think Chet Hanks would have been better.
Wait.
I completely disagree with you. He plays Robert Langdon. The guy in the book is milquetoast. He deliberately chooses with his facial muscles and to do it like to be awkward and to be unattractive. This is a man who is a movie star choosing to be unattractive.
I'm going to push back on this because I think Tom Hanks's skill is taking milquetoast characters and making them dynamic and exciting and like really sympathetic. I did not feel a goddamn thing for Robert Langdon.
You're not supposed to. If you've read, like, so I've read two of the books.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to feel anything for him.
But why make your lead a sociopath? What are you supposed to feel for? Why make your lead this, like, blank slug of a man who
because
just likes
people
symbols?
People can project themselves on him. Like, it's not that.
Give me a Poirot.
Give me a weird mustache. Something. Yeah. Give him something to have. Like, the only personality trait trait he has is that he's occasionally claustrophobic.
Can I go back to
bad hair?
Yeah,
I think I just discovered that Tom Hanks has a son who is a rapper.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. He has multiple sons. Now Col- we like Colin.
Colin's a good one. Colin's a good one.
Okay. Chet is a piece of shit. Though. Yeah, Chet is not good.
He's a he likes to he's like a reggaeton rapper. Like, it's kind of embarrassing.
I am coming for Tom Hanks.
you really are.
Yeah. He started 9/11.
we should mention Ashley's a professional actress. Has been in a couple films at this point. Yeah, yeah. Tom Hanks, give us a call.
America's sweetheart, trash.
No, but I agree the hair is really bad. He's got this weird kind of Florida ape drape going on that, like, looks horrible. Like, he's got the receding air hairline still, but he's got, like, the Scott Stapp hair,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is, like, I said this earlier before, he's like a weird uncle that it's like he's distant, where it's like he's not creepy, but he's just like, I don't want to talk to
you. No, he never feels threatening, but also, like, there are multiple points in this movie where, like, okay, are we supposed to believe that he and Audrey Tautou have, like, sexual chemistry? Because I'm getting a little bit of a dad vibe, maybe, but not even that.
It is co-worker. Mortally offend me if they hooked up. It would
I think he even knew it. They have their kiss at the end is like on the forehead or something. Like, it's very, it's very chaste. Yeah.
It felt like, almost on the familial, like, we're not like friends who would hang out. We're like, you know, family members that we would do a favor for.
Maybe
he's not Catholic. He's like a Presbyterian. So he's like, you're the offspring, spoiler alert, of Jesus. Love ya.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to have those connections. She's a Nepo baby, you know.
She's the ultimate Nepo baby.
So it's really interesting that in this film, they're supposed to be the peoples of Sion or whatever nonsense. Yeah. And they have a sort of what's it called? Rosemary's Baby level
ritual in
the middle. And you're just like, what's the story behind that?
Yeah. She's like, oh, you know, one day I was off for college and I came home early and then my grandpa was, or uncle, whatever,
he was
banging somebody in a
wouldn't
ritual.
Wouldn't you be impressed if your grandfather was like banging people in like a group ritual?
I would be like, good for you.
I feel like, great job, Grandpappy.
Good for it. I feel good about my genes going forward. Yeah.
He doesn't even need boner pills.
Don't do this with the window open.
Well, no, she's the one in the barn. She came unannounced, and everyone knows grandparents be fucking.
So did Grandpa. Like,
he has risen.
No, I think Grandpa announced it. I think Grandpa would have said something
with a hearty yell of Sacre bleu.
Wait, but do y'all think she was gonna walk on water?
Do you think there's gonna be a moment at the end where
could she have walked on water?
Oh, I think she could.
That's the teaser at the end. Is she kind of steps on some water? And she's like,
maybe. Oh,
I've
soiled my Louboutins.
Well, it's
I'll have better luck with the wine.
Well, it's so funny as people that were not like what's the word, religious, like
that's the one.
That's it's so weird to be watching this movie and to be like, this actually offended people because it's outrageously like it's such clear work of fiction.
Oh yeah, here's my thing.
Very ridiculous.
I read the book. I was pretty indifferent to it, but I read it, and then the movie came out, and I was not going to see it because the reviews were pretty toxic, right from the get go. But then I saw some people protesting outside my local small town movie theater. I'm like, oh, now I'm going. Now I'm going. And that's kind of how that's sort of the genius of the marketing of this book. It's like, love it, hate it, agree with it, disagree with it. You're gonna engage with it in some way. And that's why this became such a huge thing. And they spent, like I said, they spent so much money making this movie. They pulled out all the stops. And they produced something that is just like this dull, wet turd of a movie. There's just nothing going on in this movie. Like, this, I was so bored. And this thing
but
does
it's
not
so
end.
Interesting, 'cause like, but you wouldn't say the book is better.
I wouldn't say the book is better. I would say the book moves more. Like, yeah. I would say the book is...
It's fast.
I also...
You can project your own movie in your mind while you're reading the book. And this one, you're stuck with, like, the really shitty, like, flashbacks on the green screen.
Yeah.
You're stuck with Robert Langdon's bad hair and, like, the lack of chemistry.
It's atrocious. It's a crime.
I definitely, from the moment that... The twist of T-Bing's twist, I was like, from the moment that he revealed himself as like, I'm the traitor.
Yeah.
Which made
I was like,
no sense.
He was
no
helping
sense.
Them.
It made absolutely no sense that he was like somehow I was just like, what is going on here?
What is going on?
Guys, clearly y'all have never been in a sorority. Sometimes people just backstab you.
I guess. I will say Ian McKellen, he plays Sir Lee Teabing, who's like an obsessive, like, grail fanatic. I think he brings the only real juice that this movie has. I think the scene, like where they first arrive at his mansion and he's kind of explaining.
I don't know. You can't let go of Paul Bettany being all like naked most of the time.
I will say Paul Bettany
that
commits.
That was my favorite part of the movie. I know it's been a while since I've actually seen it fully, but
I have 10
I like
to 15
that.
Minutes I want to commit to Paul Bettany, but I do want to say McKellen.
Real turned off. Real early.
I thought McKellen and like this is the these are the moments where Tom Hanks seems to kind of wake up a little bit, like when they're debating this and when he's explaining this whole preposterous theory that he has. Like McKellen always has this little twinkle in his eye that's really fun.
I do love that in the middle of this film they just have a 20-minute like, hey, I'm gonna explain exactly what's going on here. And
yeah.
I'm Ian McKellen, so I can do it in a good way.
But then they just kind of undo everything by making him be the quote-unquote the teacher, the guy who's like secretly behind everything. Because why is he looking and spending all these resources trying to discover these secrets when he fucking
knows
everything already?
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing was that he knew everything up to a point.
Yeah.
And then that's where he's doing
but
all
he's
this work.
Somehow he's still in charge of Silas, who's in charge of murdering people. What? That doesn't make sense.
No, it makes no sense at all. Okay.
I'm blaming
you.
I do think
that is a good excuse.
The most memorable thing for this movie for me is Paul Bettany, because this is a wild character. Silas, the albino Spanish monk, Paul Bettany
incredible.
Doing an Antonio Banderas impression and beating the shit out of himself while wearing a garter. Is definitely not something you want to see.
Not for me.
Well, I thought it was super hot. I'm sorry.
Daddy like you, okay?
Look, it didn't check a box for me, but I was able to say, okay, this is working for somebody. Like my spidey sense is tingling. Like,
I just don't want him wearing anything under those robes.
Look, Ian said, oh, God, do I have to watch all of this?
Paul Bettany's got a little British butt, and it's fun to see
a
in this
movie. Beautiful little British
butt.
Little
British
it's a tush. It's a tush.
I'm still mad. He is currently married to my childhood crush, Jennifer Connelly. He's been married to her for like 20 years.
I was going
to
say Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Coolidge is my childhood.
Like,
this is why we're friends, Ashley. I never told you.
Oh my God.
It's the Coolidge impression you did for 30 seconds once. That's all we need. Jennifer Connelly was my big, like, childhood crush. He's been married to her for like 20 years off of another Ron Howard movie, Beautiful Mind. They met in that because he's an imaginary friend. Spoiler alert for Beautiful Mind.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry.
Also, she did go ass to ass in Requiem. Spoiler alert.
She sure did. At Keith David's bequest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a whole
Keith
thing.
Davidson's involved.
Keith David. Yeah, he made, yeah.
Davidson's going to steal that girl.
Pete Davidson went ass to ass. Yes.
Who's Pete Davidson dating now?
Oh, God. Probably Gypsy Rose.
Jesus Christ.
I love Mommy Dead and Dearest. I love Mommy Dead
okay.
and Dearest. That shit's wild. Anyways, you should look into it.
I've heard about... I know who she is. I have not watched
watch
the show
it.
Or
it's
the
incredible.
Documentary.
It's incredible.
I think so. I think Paul Bettany brings this great... Like, first of all, why does he have to be an albino? I'm like, why do you have to make him be an albino?
It's the only way to cast Paul Bettany as a Spaniard, I guess. Like that's
That was the thing. We're like, well, we could hire a real Spaniard. No. We'll make him albino.
Yes. Look, I love Paul Bettany. I think he always brings a lot to the roles, and like he is very committed in this very, very silly role. And everything about the structure of this movie should work for me. I love scavenger hunts. I love, like, kind of deciphering clues and things like that.
So the problem with this scavenger hunt is that there's a couple, they're all set up on false premises. Sure. Like, they're all set up on premises of a Renaissance artist creating these clues for a, you know, people who are 400, 500 years later.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it's stupid.
It's so stupid.
But it's really stupid because they do have, like, you can easily, and I feel like a lot of other mysteries do this in really great ways of, like, taking the mystery and then extrapolating it. But, like, the way
National
they do it in
treasure.
The movie.
God damn it. Continue.
I have to say, National Treasure does a really good job. But
look,
also,
yeah.
But it's just like, and it's just like, so I feel like the movie could have made you feel smarter in smarter ways.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, like, they go on and on about the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine.
Yeah.
And they do it in the shittiest way possible.
It feels like a lecture.
Well, it's not even that it feels... You can lecture me all fucking day.
You would love to be lectured, yeah.
I paid a lot of money to get lectured, and I'm still getting fucked by those student loans.
Yeah, yeah.
But
shout out to Congress and Supreme Court.
Woo! 20 more months, though. 20 more months, and I'm free.
Hey, way to go. I probably have way more than that.
That's a good amount. That's like, you can see the end in sight.
Yeah.
You just have to stay at your current job until.
Yeah, then. I just have to stay at my current job until for 20 more months.
And that's it.
And then I'm free.
Through a crazy election.
I would say you can do it, but I could not. So I don't know. You can try your best. Yeah.
But so what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Getting lectured. So getting lectured. So people, human beings, love history. All humans, regardless of age, like, sex, gender, whatever, have boners for history.
Yeah.
And I do mean that. Even people who hate history will still tune into a goddamn World War II history.
True.
And, like, people, like, this is a huge demographic that people, that I feel is, like, was being underserviced and then was serviced by the podcast industry, and then you start getting serviced by the History Channel, getting serviced, haha.
but aliens
by Nazis and aliens all day on
all
the History Channel.
The Luftwaffe UFOs, they do it for me. But
you're a cis white man. You should be making.
I should not
jokes.
Be making those jokes. Those jokes. I apologize. I should clarify. I'm not a Nazi. I've just had a lot of wine. Yes, that's the line of demarcation. Yes.
But, like, I've read a lot of books, and, like, there are so many that make, like, much cleverer storylines about, like, homages to history. But, like, but let's face facts. Like, we can all talk about being a big bash, like, but when push comes to shove, Dan Brown's the OG.
Yeah.
And this movie made $760 million.
That's the thing. Like, this came out
that's
with
a lot of money.
This has a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes. This got terrible.
Oh,
reviews.
My God.
Terrible, terrible
that
reviews.
That is even lower
it's
than
the,
I would have
hair.
Thought.
It got
booed out of so Cannes. Bad. Like, but it, like the book, it's kind of critic proof. Like, it has a built-in audience that's going to see this no matter what, because you read the book and you loved it and you defended it, or you read the book and you think it's garbage and you're like, all right, well, maybe they can salvage it. Same reason I saw Ready Player One. Thought they could salvage it, didn't do it.
Didn't work out either.
But, like, you know, they this movie was a huge hit, and it's also totally forgotten. Like, its legacy has been completely erased at this point. There were two sequels to this. There's Angels and Demons 2 years later, and then Inferno came out like 5 years ago.
Both successes.
I mean, okay, so the Inferno was an international success. It was a pretty huge bomb. Here.
Was there a
Angels
hot
and,
person?
Angels
in
and
that,
Demons have made $500 million.
Well, I mean, Ewan McGregor, hello.
Yeah.
Do you just him and Moulin Rouge just
I mean, I love him in everything. I love him in everything.
Ooh. But
you and
what's,
Ailish
what's
have
your...
this in common. That's her go-to like person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't forget me.
And don't forget me. I mean, look,
don't forget me.
Top of the list for like, you know, hey, if a little more wine, why not?
This The Da Vinci Code strongly outperformed National Treasure.
It did. Yeah.
What did National Treasure make?
Relatively similar budget, like 350 million.
It did well, yeah. But yeah, this one did better.
Okay, what if Da Vinci Code had Nicolas Cage as the lead?
Oh,
I mean, I would be.
I think it would have been a better movie.
I would have been locked in.
I think it's ten times better because Nicolas Cage is going to bring a weird manic, like nerdy energy to this character. Like Robert Langdon should not be like so normal and boring.
Yeah, and like, Jennifer Tilly.
Okay. Let's go back to your original thing. Okay. Robert Langdon should not be boring. He's stupid boring in the book.
He's so boring.
If you're going to cast Robert Langdon and you want him to bring the sex appeal, if you want him to be like, yes, lecture me, daddy, like who are you going to cast as Robert Langdon?
Well, I mean, Harrison Ford is like the perfect use case of like, here's like, I'm like this like hot guy, but like, I'm going to go on adventures.
I think if they were to try that, everybody would say, wait, is this Indiana Jones or is this...
Probably, but you know, here's the thing. That at this phase in Harrison Ford's career, he's doing a lot of mid-level thrillers.
I was that hot French dude in No Country for Old Men and Dune.
Javier Bardem? He's Spanish.
Spanish.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Javier Bardem could be interesting, but he might be too horny and too menacing. Like... There is something inherently horny about that man, which I say as a compliment,
Well, but like Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
I feel like...
I mean, fuck Woody Allen, but also like that movie was hot.
It's a good movie.
I
don't know. I feel like 2006 Jude Law makes sense to me.
Jude Law just is a piece of shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. We keep bringing this up.
Look at, though.
He's made a receding hairline really work for him
Ewan
for like
McGregor
20 years.
Was in this role.
Me likey. I'm all in. I mean, I love an Ewan McGregor. What if Killian Murphy...
I feel like Harrison Ford might have been hit down that. We need an older, like,
just no Killian Murphy. Like, that's
wild. I've been salivating the whole movie.
This is like peak twink Killian Murphy. This is like
20 days later.
This is like plucked from a Botticelli pretty like Killian
that
Murphy.
That was 2003.
20 days later.
So, but we have to acknowledge that if we cast sexy daddy Langdon, then we wouldn't get awkward, annoying Langdon, and that is what this whole movie is. The crux is like making him like a pale painting because Audrey Tautou is the actual star of the movie.
Okay, look, if Jesus can fuck, so can Langdon. That's all I'm saying.
They're both all about like, symbols.
I need more sex appeal.
Yeah.
There's something.
She's so sexy in Amelie.
She's incredible.
She's adorable.
And so,
oh, my God.
Yeah,
why did they focus so much on the other character?
Well, yeah, we spend a lot of time with Jean Reno as Foch, which is interesting. Like, we spend a lot of time with him.
We spend a lot of time.
And Jean Reno's great. Like,
well, it's interesting how they set him up as a corrupt cop, and then at the last minute, they're like, no, he's not corrupt.
It feels like they could never quite pick a lane with whether of how corrupt he was.
And I think it's because he's a cop for the organization more so.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit. He's
with
like,
the Opus Dei.
Asking for the flight plan. He can't wait for this dude to eat a sandwich. He's French. He should be able to wait for someone to eat a sandwich.
They take long lunches, okay?
They do. I mean, you know, I think he's good in this movie, like, but they're all doing just kind
like,
of like what they can.
I couldn't help think about like Godzilla because he's like such a big part of the Godzilla. Oh, man. Like, he's just like, oh, I am French.
That's a rough role for him. Yeah, but similarly, I think that's what he and Tom Hanks are working with here. Like, I think everybody in this movie is doing the best they can with the material they're given. They're given paper-thin characters.
Think,
it's all this very clockwork
mechanic.
I think
that's the one. Yeah. The characters are paper-thin.
They're
like,
terrible.
If Langdon is going to be that, then there needs to be somebody to hold the light.
Yeah.
We don't really get that. And I forgot her name. What was her name again?
Audrey Tautou.
Audrey Tautou.
Yeah.
Audrey
Not Marion Cotillard.
Sophie Nouveau.
She could have done it. But they just chose not to. Like, she had
all of the personal exposition in the movie was hers. But yet,
oh, there's so much exposition in this movie.
Absolutely, yeah. Follows Langdon the whole time.
Yeah, and
like,
there's
a few times where it cuts away and kind of follows her.
Well, I do think
they could have focused on her more.
It's interesting in these types of airport movies or books. They usually have like a sexual tension, and I thought it was a really interesting decision not to have any sexual tension, like even in the book. And you're just like, I just thought it was really. It's not the choice I would have made, but I can respect the choice.
It's nice. It's nice that, like, the younger woman isn't like, go sleep with this old guy. I mean, that, like, is a nice thing. But also, we could have made it a little more dynamic.
Yeah. I want all of my media to be at least 10% horny. Like, just give me a soupçon of horniness. Like, I just want a little hint, a little flavor of horniness. And there's really none of that here. This is so aesthetic. It's such a clockwork plot where, like, every move needs to lead to the next move, needs to lead to the next move. A lot of people are going to be very ahead of this movie.
How much energy did this man have after he was shot in the gut?
Yeah.
Like, he takes off all his clothes. Why did he take off his pants? Leave some boxers on. Someone's going to find your dead body. You can write out a whole anagram, but you can't leave your boxers
I thought you were talking about Tom Hanks for a second, but we should clarify. We're talking about the murder victim. And I, too, hope that when I die, I have the wherewithal to leave an elaborate series of clues in my own blood and also be nude.
Yeah, like, what would y'all spell out if you had moments to live?
Go to the Chili's at 45th and Lamar. Yes.
If I were to try that, absolutely, when the time came for somebody to decipher it, they would look at it and go, is that an F? Is that a 4? Could that be a 5? What the fuck is this?
This guy's real into F1 for some reason. Like, what is, who's Ayrton Senna? What the fuck is happening? Yeah.
What did Max Verstappen do?
Kill Verstappen. I feel like that would be your last words.
No, yeah. No. I respect him. He's a really good driver.
But you also hate him.
I wish that I don't hate him. I just wish that there were other
drivers.
You
just hate him.
Justin's Euro trash.
You do. You do.
I don't.
You do.
I always knew this about Justin.
You just have a little bit of hatred for Verstappen. Formula One, if anyone's wondering what we're talking about.
It's where racing.
More like Vergoing.
I think
Verstappen. Yeah. You Verstappen.
Wait, who's married to Ginger Spice?
That's Christian Horner, Max Verstappen's boss.
Okay. I do not like that man. He did my girl dirty.
Did he?
Which part?
He had an affair.
Is this the recent stuff?
L'affaire de coeur?
An affair on Ginger Spice.
It has recently come to the attention that there may have been an affair with one of the employees at the company.
Oh.
And so.
It's Ginger Spice. What the fuck are you doing?
It is literally Ginger Spice.
Royalty.
She's a spice girl.
Ginger Spice.
Not only a spice girl, but
she gets
had to
free tea at
the
Spice Hut
girls.
Anytime she wants.
Yeah. Like, that's the spice.
That's your spice girl.
Ginger Spice. Yeah, Ginger Spice is the shit. Yeah. She like had the Union Jack dress. She's iconic. She's fucking iconic.
I don't know. Scary Spice.
I love Scary Spice. Those are my two favorite. They had sex. They would get bored on tour and then fuck each other, and I love that.
That's great. I'm learning a lot.
They're my two favorite Spice Girls. I love them.
You didn't. Which Spice Girls? You're a Spice.
Here's the thing. I feel creepy saying it. I was a baby Spice guy. But like,
I do like sporty too.
I don't know why she named herself that. It creeps me out. It makes me feel. It's like you're trying to dissuade me from being in your fan base.
Can we be 18 year old Spice?
Yes. Can we be a young adult Spice?
I'm an adult Spice.
College student Spice. I don't know. At least, yeah, something like, yeah. 27 plus divided by 2 plus 5.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
I do have a question that is a tangent.
Okay, please.
This is a hard tangent.
As opposed
tangent.
To the tangent
okay.
we were
yeah.
just
okay.
on.
Okay, no, this is like a pretty hard tangent. Okay.
Bring it on.
Because I've been thinking about Sir Ian McKellen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I recently rewatched all of the Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
Why do they go on a Viking river cruise at the end of the film?
They're going to the Undying Lands because Frodo was always yearning for the ring after he gave up the ring because he didn't give up the ring of his own volition. So he never stops jonesing for the ring.
He's got to go on this Viking river cruise.
And his injuries from the ring wraiths never healed, and like, and this is like the Undying Lands, so he's pretty much, this is only like, he's like, he's suffering a great deal, and that's why he has to leave. He has to go because he has to leave Sam, his beloved. So I'm just like,
they have so much sexual tension between
talk about chemistry.
I was getting
kind of
horned up watching those two. The chemistry was a flying.
I was shipping them very hard. But yeah, basically he went off to like Middle Earth rehab is what it was.
It does look like a Viking river cruise, and there's kinda a bunch of like silver singles boarding, and they're like, come join us, and I'm like, oh, he's the young guy on the Viking river cruise, and I'm like, they're gonna go look at Christmas markets.
He's the Dev Patel on the exotic Marigold Hotel. Which I've never
Have you seen Monkey Man yet?
Incredible, it's so good, it's so attractive. I was horned up the whole time watching that one. I am so very attracted to Dev Patel.
Was it specifically
Dev Patel
the Monkey
Master? Writer and the director, and he's like, some directors when they direct themselves are like, oh, I'll be coy about how hot I am. He's not.
Look at my fucking guns. Look at my abs. Look at my hot face.
Look at my cum gutters.
Look at my cum gutters. God.
They're
just
like
raking in the
Jesus
cum.
Like, yeah.
So I had never
heard that. Raking
in
the cum. Ka-ching, ka-ching, jackpot. All the cum.
Right.
I'm putting an E on this episode.
This term has been a term for a long time.
Since Usher broke onto the scene.
You have to clean your cum gutter.
I have never heard
this phrase. Leaves get in there. Trust me.
I've never heard it until today. And now I've heard it 45 times.
It's a great turn.
And now you'll never unhear it.
Yeah, Usher has really good cum gutters. He always has. I watched that Super Bowl halftime.
He's always had them. Yeah,
I was also horned up for that.
He's held on him into his 40s. I respect that. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the game a little bit. We've gone on
so
long.
Clarifying my fucking
remember. Oh my God. Please. You were asking the exact right person about
this. Y'all know the answer to this, and I anger everyone. I'm like, it wasn't a Viking river cruise. I was like, it was a Viking river cruise.
J-Van's like, let me consult my pocket Silmarillion.
Let me
access this information for
barely
you.
I barely remember what happened in those movies.
Well, and I did respect, because I know, you know, the lore very well. You really accepted the Viking river cruise plot. It was a Viking river cruise, but this is where they went. Because everyone else I've asked, they get real angry. They're like, no, it was. And I was like, you cannot tell me otherwise. I get those ads in the mail, okay?
You get what ads in the mail?
The Viking river cruise ads.
What?
Oh, is this where they go shoot an arrow, a flaming arrow at you?
No, these are incredibly expensive cruises.
Super expensive cruises.
So, like, unreasonably expensive cruisers. And they often go on rivers in Europe. And so they're just, like, they're super, like, so they have, like, 12 berths or some shit like that. And you're like... They're so, so expensive. But
it's
you, like,
for old people.
Yeah. Because you get dropped off, because it's a river cruise, you get dropped off in the middle of the city. Like in Budapest, you get right stuck between the Buddha and the pest. It's pretty great. But
it's a great place to be. But and they do these like Christmas market cruises in Germany. So you'll go like in Germany and they're like, check out these Christmas markets. And it's a bunch of old people. And I know this because my mom wants to go on a Viking river cruise.
Okay.
She's old. She has money.
There you go. Great. That's
Target
the way.
Target audience.
That's the way to be.
And it looks like the boat at the end of this fucking film. So I was like, Gandalf is going on a Viking river cruise.
Okay. All right.
Now I have to look this up. So
yeah, he's got money.
Fun fact, I can't visualize things in my head. So I can't pull any of this out of memory and go, yeah, that did look like
a
Viking
ship.
Wait,
so Nicolas Cage's nipples, can you envision that?
No.
I can very clearly. And I have like
they're brown and hairy.
Of the
0 I know
to
that.
5 that the scale that like I can't remember what the scale is, like the imagery things.
Oh yeah.
I'm a 4 on like the 5 scale, so like it's like very like faint lines of his nipples. But I can
okay. This is a phenomenon I've only become kind of recently aware of. It's one of those things,
incredible.
Like, and we've talked about this, Justin, too. Like, it's
it was
a phenomenon
a thing
like
that I recently became aware of, and just like all of the other issues in my life, I went, "Well, shit, that's me, isn't it?"
It's interesting, yeah, because it never.
The day I learned I needed glasses, I had no idea I needed glasses. Totally failed the eye test.
You just thought the world was blurry?
Yeah. I thought everything. My mom was taking me to the eye doctor and just asking me to read signs. And I'm like, I know all of these signs. We live in a small town. We only go on 2 or 3 of these roads every day. This is like, I know all the signs in this row. And she's like, but when does it become clear to read? And I would say now. And she's like,
that's too soon.
We,
we passed it 5 minutes ago, son.
Yeah, she would be like, when I asked you the question, it already should have been visible. And I'm like, oh, okay.
How old were you when you got glasses?
I was in fifth grade.
Wow, okay.
I thought that all the kids wanted to sit at the back of the class so that they had an excuse for doing bad.
Oh.
I didn't realize it because I was not a mischievous. I was a small autistic kid.
Sure.
I didn't realize that mischief went on in the back row of the classroom.
That's where it goes. That's where you carve your name into the desk. Yeah. I was a back row kid.
So you were a cool kid.
No. You were an accidental cool kid. Yeah. You were a back row kid like me.
I had one friend, and it was a good time.
Good. Nice.
Hey, you've got a lot
now.
Now
I have a lot.
You have a lot of friends.
You're just drowning in friends.
You're like, fuck off, friends.
What's the wet-ass pussy version of lots of friends?
Friend-ass pussy.
Full FAC, full ass contacts. There you go.
Come gutter.
Birthday attendees.
BDA.
My most recent birthday was by far my most attended.
That was a fun birthday. That was a fun birthday.
It was a good time.
All right, we should talk about this game, and we're having trouble doing I will say this
I'm
is
still trying to look up the fucking Vikings.
You should look it up.
I'm gonna say this is not the worst game we've ever covered, but this might be the least engaged I've ever been with a game that we've covered.
Bad.
It was really sliding off my brain.
I am a little bit of a goody two shoes.
You are sure. You're a rule follower. You're a rule follower.
I don't know so much rule followers as a goody two shoes like. If I'm gonna watch these movies, I'm gonna pay attention to the video games. I'm gonna do my due diligence and make fun of shit on my. I could not pay attention.
Man, this thing is so
this
boring.
This fucking video game.
Thing is so boring.
It was pretty bad.
It's not even like inept. It's just it just slides off
your
brain.
Well,
it's
like
right?
If you played the Nancy Drew games, like you know what this could have been.
Yeah. Totally.
I had a project to work on the side while I was watching it, so that's the only reason why I kept, like, watching it, because I had one monitor where I was just following a guide to set something up and another monitor where it's the movie playing. And I'm like, I feel like I had thought about watching this movie on the couch downstairs, and I don't think I would have made it. I think I would have fallen asleep.
It's very long, but then you get into the game a little bit. Like, okay, first of all, this is one of the pinnacles of, like, when I tell, like, this episode's come up a couple times because I'm way ahead on my other podcast, I've mentioned, like, I plug the show and I'll mention that, like, we're talking about the Da Vinci Code soon. Almost universally, people were like, I had no idea there was a video game of the Da Vinci Code.
That was my response.
That was
like,
your response,
too. No, there's no fucking way.
I tagged you in, like, just kind of arbitrarily, just because, like, oh, I love Ashley. I want Ashley on the show. But, like, so I'm just like...
Someone gets it.
Da Vinci Code feels like as good an entry as anything.
Yeah,
so
fuck you.
You were kind enough to acquiesce. But, like, it is one of those games that's completely anonymous. This thing sold incredibly poorly.
It sold
on the opposite end of the movie.
Exactly.
This thing tanked.
This thing absolutely bought. Okay, this game came out the same weekend as the movie. It came with a free ticket for the movie. It still sold less than 20,000 copies, which is pretty abysmal
what?
For a video game.
That's incredible. Jesus.
So
for
like
a multi-million-dollar movie.
That's
multi-million
incredible.
Dollar movie. I think they tried to mitigate some of the damage here. First of all, they have none of the likeness rights of anybody in the movie, so they tried to say this is an adaptation of the game, or of the book, rather. This is an adaptation of the book and not the movie, and that's why we don't have Tom Hanks or Audrey Tautou or Jean Reno.
Everyone looks terrible in it, too. Also, bad hair.
Everybody looks very, like, Hallmark Christmas movie, like, kind of generic, like...
Although the French people are so French, and that did delight me.
Yeah.
It did give me a delight.
They are almost chomping on baguettes. Yeah. Like, yeah, they...
They
are made to be so French.
They go from chomping on baguettes to throwing hands.
Yeah.
Yes, we get into some really awkward fights in this game.
But like men beating the crap out of women fights.
I am going to say off the top, I think... the idea of a Da Vinci Code video game is a good one. I think this property fits that idea because the movie is basically just solve puzzle, move to next location, solve puzzle, move to next location. Like
every can, once in a while, oh no, there's a guard.
Yes.
The only thing we can do is beat the shit out of him.
This is all you need to do. It's just a series of puzzles and like exactly a little bit of combat.
Also, you can't crouch in heels and walk stealthily. So I'm sorry. I call foul play.
I can't. No. No. No, you can't.
You got to take those heels off.
You have to take the heels off. I'm sorry.
This is my tangent. I did a production of La Caja Folle a couple
French
years ago.
Wouldn't it be funny if French women just had silent heels and we didn't know about it?
We just didn't know. That's their secret
skill. That's their secret.
They've got silencers on their stilettos. Yeah.
I've watched
it's
too
just
much
like a
RuPaul's
rubber pad.
Yeah, it's just like blah, blah, blah. I've watched too much RuPaul's Drag Race, and so when she did duck down, I was like, she's duck walking, but yeah, she did it. She did
no,
it.
No, I did a production of La Caja Folle a couple of years ago where I had to do a little bit of drag, and I had to learn to run in heels, and I have a very high respect for people who can run in heels because that's very
I
hard
I can
to
run
do.
In heels, and I just don't want to.
I can't even run barefoot.
Like...
I'm gonna trip.
My butt looked fantastic. I'll say that, but like it was hard to do.
It's great for the calves.
It is
great for the calves.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But this game features none of that. This is basically like a really boring, like kind of point and click adventure game with some third person action stuff going on in between.
It's like a point and click adventure game, but there's so much lead up to every single puzzle. It's just exhausting. It's just like, it's such a rehash of the movie, and it's a rehash of the movie in the most mundane, idiotically boring way.
Well, here's the thing that they fucked up on. Okay, so there's a series of games from the 90s to the mid-2000s called Broken Sword. I've played all of them. I really enjoy Broken Sword. Yeah. Broken Sword is basically just the Da Vinci Code if the characters were engaging and funny. You know, that's kind of what it is. It's just
that's
going
what
through
I wanted.
Puzzle to puzzle. This game has some puzzles designed by the developer of Broken Sword.
What?
And it feels like a total waste of those talents. Like, I would say definitely check out the Broken Sword games ahead of this one. But, like... the idea of it makes total sense. You go from room to room in the Louvre, you're investigating clues, you're piecing together puzzles, and then the game fucks everything up by making you engage in combat. Would y'all like to talk about the combat here a little bit? You all engage with
Ashley
it more than I did.
Ashley was the person who engaged in the combat.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm sitting here minding my own business in the Louvre, okay?
Yeah.
I'm walking around. I'm dodging these people. I'm duck walking. I'm getting out of there. And I'm just trying to, you know,
live
explore a little, get some clues. And this motherfucking man comes up and tries to hit me. And it just escalates from, like, I am Sophie... the museum.
We should clarify. We are controlling Sophie Nouveau at this point.
Yes. I am a woman in the museum, and this man comes up and straight up is like, I'm going to fucking hit you.
Yeah,
and it's like, what?
He literally goes, you can't be here. And then immediately puts him up and goes at it. Full fist.
We just
insane.
Came off of playing all the Rocky games. This is more violent
than
any
Rocky
of the Rocky games.
It was insane. I've never seen a video game where it's like, all right, let's beat up some women just so quickly.
And literally, I played Mortal Kombat like this weekend. Like it seems
more respectful.
It seems more respectful of women than this movie.
Well, it's because they didn't just punch. They bitch slapped.
Yeah.
And they throw her into walls.
Yeah, they grab her and throw her into walls. Yeah.
They throw her into priceless pieces of art at the Louvre.
And also in Mortal Kombat, they want to fight. It's a consensual
fight,
right? It's consensual.
They
but
are
like,
trying to prove themselves.
I'm in a museum and this man's like, I'm going to fucking hit you.
Yes.
Not only are you in a museum.
This tiny, skinny waif woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tiny French lady.
Think of Amelie. Think of how adorable Amelie is in her little cafe. Like, and then imagine beating the shit out of her.
Even if you were the guard in that situation, you turned around and there was a big burly dude there, you'd probably go, hey, you're not supposed to be here.
What are you
go.
Doing here?
Yeah,
I'm going to shine my flashlight at you while I call the cops. Yeah. Please stand still.
Yeah. But the first thing that he does when he notices that there's a small woman walking in, it's just a closed section, like closed gallery section.
Yeah.
He just immediately goes, nah, fuck this. I'm knocking you out.
So, and the combat too is, it's not just like fighting game combat or like adventure game combat. It is quick time events. It's button pressing. You need to press like X, B, X to dodge and then press X, B, X to punch. And it's really
not
annoying.
Done or presented in a fun way. So for people who are into video games, they might be aware of a company called Quantic Dream.
Yes.
Who make Inigo Prophecy, Heavy Rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Detroit Beyond Human. Uh-huh. And they are kind of, I don't know if they were necessarily the pioneers, but they were the first company that had ever made a game like this that I had played.
Yeah.
Where you have action sequences that are button pressing.
Yeah, they're time tip reactions, yeah.
Yes. And they do it in ways that are interesting, both in presentation and in the way that you're doing it sometimes.
Yeah.
And this does none of that.
No.
It's just at the bottom of the screen, before anything even happens, it's just like, press XX circle, and then you do it, and then you see what happens play out, instead of doing it kind of live as things are
happening. Have you played Detroit Beyond Human?
I have.
I haven't played Detroit Beyond Human,
like,
but I
watched
the other
Chris
two.
Play it, and it's just like, it's really good.
It's good. I like really that good. One. Yeah. I like that one, yeah.
It's really good at making games that could also be
well,
kind
it's,
of movies.
It's such a wonderful storytelling. Yeah. Like, it's such an amazing video game compared to this.
And that's where, like, you already have the source material that you're stuck with. Oh, you already have the source material that you're stuck with. And they just, in order to make a game like this be successful, you have to do better at everything else.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like they would have, if they cut out the QuickTime event, if they just made a Nancy Drew style puzzle game, I think this would have made bank.
Yeah. It
totally.
At the very least, I was about to say it would be fine for kids, but I don't know. There is a dead guy in the. First
dead
moment.
Naked old man.
Paid for the likeness also. Just pony just up for the Tom Hanks face with the bad haircut.
At least give us like a Jim Hanks voice. We got like a guy who sounds a lot like Kevin Costner in this instead.
It's so interesting that Polar Express got the Hank face, but not Da Vinci Code, which is like a much bigger film.
That's right. This is our second Hanks. We've talked about a few. We have not talked about any good Hanks yet. If you're only engaging with pop culture through our episode, Tom Hanks is actually quite a good actor, and he makes very good movies. Just
have
not
you seen
any
Charlie
of them
Wilson's
about.
War.
I like Charlie Wilson's
War. It's
such
War. A good movie. Like it's.
I put that on in the background a lot because like I like the dialogue and I like the Mike Nichols kind of direction of it.
Him
yeah.
and Julia Roberts just really are so just, cute. In that
she
movie.
Chomp a bitch.
Yeah,
you know. She got the teeth.
I like Colin Hanks. That's a good Hanks.
I like Colin Hanks. Yeah, I like Colin Hanks a lot.
Do you guys watch Drunk History?
I've seen it, yeah.
I've seen it, yeah.
Colin Hanks is a reoccurring person on
He's
always fantastic.
He's always fun.
He's great.
Yeah.
And I loved that thing that we do. That thing that we do.
That thing we do.
That thing we do.
I just got a couple weeks ago, I got the soundtrack on vinyl. It's really great.
It's so good. It's such a cute movie.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
Liv Tyler is so beautiful.
Oh, my God.
She was so beautiful. She was my other big crush. Like, yeah, all my crushes were like large-eyed brunettes. And like, it's ironic.
She didn't go on the Viking River cruise.
She did not.
She did not.
She stayed behind.
She's hot and single. Not single, but she was young.
She stayed with she stayed with Viggo, who's grown into kind of zaddy form by the end of that movie. So yeah.
I was attracted to him the whole
time. Look, you're only human.
I did stand up recently and I had a whole bit about how I'm getting older and I'm now starting to think that Gandalf is super hot.
It was a good bit. Yeah. It was a good bit.
I love when he comes back. I'm like, oh, dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've come back to slay.
Yes.
I loved it.
Those cum gutters, you know.
He's got them.
He's got great cum gutters.
The best cum gutters. No, I mean, this was a game like, maybe it was our attention span tonight. Maybe it was just the game, but we were not engaging with this thing.
It was bad.
At all.
It wasn't
so
just attention span. Cause, like,
it's slow. It's kind of ugly looking.
Doesn't like women at all.
There isn't like, was there even... There had to have been music, but I don't think it was very
it was silent
pleasant.
Most of the time.
Unremarkable.
It was silent most of the time, except for in some of the scenes, they had Exorcist style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Music. That was a weird music choice. Where I was like, what are we doing here? Can we? And then, like, there was other, like, Indian music.
Yeah.
Like Kirkland brand Indian.
I do have a question for y'all. Do y'all like puzzles?
I love puzzles. Yeah.
Love a puzzle.
Always.
I don't like puzzles.
Okay.
Like at all? Like
no, I just find like in the internet age, I think maybe before the internet, maybe I would have, but like I just feel like Googling it. Like I have no patience for a puzzle.
The hunt is like
unless it's like a Fallout 3, Fallout 4
sure.
type of game. Like, unless it's like like I can find things. I love to find a thing. But when it comes to a puzzle, I'm just like, my brain is like, fuck it, just Google it.
I love a logic puzzle. Two of my favorite games in recent years are The Return of the Obra Dinn and Chance of Sinnar, which are both like...
Nerd.
Yes, heavily. There, the first one's set on a fucking 18th century ship.
Somebody
like,
who said
ship.
Called me a nerd earlier. I'm gonna be nerd.
It's fair. You can bounce it back at me.
Ashley's the only cool kid here.
It's
That's
probably.
Right. I'm smoking a cigarette right now, wearing a leather jacket, baby.
And
where'd you get those Ray-Bans?
Yeah, she's sitting backwards in her chair.
Yeah,
she is. She's about to rap with us kids. Yeah,
I'm the Fonz. The
hat.
Shakespeare's
also...
basically like hip hop. Yo.
It's also a red hat, but in the Limp Bizkit red hat.
God damn it.
I was like, don't mention a red hat.
God damn it.
I would love, so in the perfect world, as being a smarty pants historian,
yeah.
What I would love to see is a Dan Brownian Shakespeare drama, because there are so many dick jokes in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many dick jokes in everything.
I seem
and
to have
I just,
missed that section.
Few people realize.
Like, the nurse section. Yeah. Like, when I was in high school, I was laughing my ass off during a ninth grade English class because they were reading the nurse section and she's talking about dicks the whole time. And like, and then my teacher was like, hey, would you want to explain why this is funny?
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
I refuse to elaborate.
People don't realize in Italian the name Montague means small flaccid penis. Yeah. People don't realize it's a deep cut text.
I'm not kidding.
No, I know. You're right. Yeah.
They are a lot of dick jokes.
Yeah. And there should be. I love it. Yeah. I only just realized recently that like the fair youth that Shakespeare refers to in a lot of his poems is meant to refer to the same person.
Yeah.
Same young man. So, you know, hey, read into that what you will.
Shakespeare was fucking.
He was fucking.
Shakespeare would
sure.
be fucking Abraham Lincoln if he could. Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln? No. You know what he'd do with Abraham Lincoln? They'd have the hottest, sexiest mud wrestling competition.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Abe has some reach on him, too.
He's a long boy.
Daddy long legs.
Yes. You mean a mud wallop?
You'd have a full-on mud wallop. A full-on Georgia mud wallop.
I almost called it an Alabama Georgia.
With Julia
but
Roberts.
You do know
yeah.
that Abraham Lincoln good. Was a little punk who loved to wrestle people when he was when he was a teenager.
Sure.
That led into his desire to wrestle and kill vampires later in his life.
It did. It helped out.
He almost went on the Donner Party.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, wow. He did. Isn't that crazy? That's I learned insane. That like somewhat recently. I was like, what?
The only reason is that his wife was like,
Mary
nah,
Todd's like, no,
no
bro,
no,
that sounds
no,
horrible.
That sounds
I don't want to go glamping.
See, like, I relate so hard to Mary Todd Lincoln at this moment. Like, I do not want to go camping.
I bet she was
I
like,
do want
to
engage in cannibalism. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, can we stay home and watch ye old Netflix instead?
Let's yes. go to the theater and see a movie.
May we hang out with Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah, so as you could probably tell by what's talking,
1800s tragedy, which one would you be like, yeah, I do that, and which one would you be like, nah, wait, fuck that?
This is a wild question already.
Do you mean
the category is 1800s
like,
tragedy?
What the,
are
there
you
are,
asking us if we would be Lee Harvey Oswald?
1800s tragedies.
That's
1800 tragedies are... Oh, 1800s tragedies are really fucked up.
Sorry, I got them backwards.
These are bad tragedies. These are little like a little bighorn and shit. This is bad.
Wait, okay, you're about to read something off
okay,
your phone.
I've got
wait.
The great disasters of the 19th century.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, the great Chicago fire.
Oh, old Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
The great
yeah.
New York fire.
So many cities old, on fire.
Old Mrs. O'Leary's
we should
cow
really
strikes
stop building
back.
Them out of wood.
The wreck of the steamship Arctic.
Oh, I was there for that one.
Oh, cholera. That's all.
Do you guys remember cholera? Only 90s kids remember.
We got a bunch of volcanoes.
Krakatoa.
That was one. We've got... Sure.
I'm going to say Triangle Shirtwaist Factory all the way. All the way.
Jonestown Flood. Not to be confused with Jonestown Sippy Sippy Time.
Different Jonestown. Either way.
Tragic history in Jonestown.
The lesson is name nothing Jonestown. Yeah, yeah. There's no good history associated with the name Jonestown.
The official name is Sippy Sippy Time.
Jesus Christ.
I used to historically, in my life, I used to always get Jamestown and Jonestown backwards.
Very different vibes.
Very different.
Very That's different incredible. Vibes.
And, like, you know, sometimes the teacher looks at you funny when you do it. They're like, what?
What's that? Yes. They drank all that Kool-Aid at Roanoke. Yeah.
I think it was middle school. I had watched, the Mel Brooks film, A History of the World, Part One. Okay. Yeah. I got that mixed up with American History X.
Oh!
Oh, yeah, because of the long scene of Jews in space in American History X, right?
I just got the titles. So I didn't actually watch it in middle school, but I got the titles mixed up because it was, like, popular in pop culture at the time.
History,
and
yeah,
so I turned
yeah.
the history, and I was one of my, like, schoolmates. I was like, that movie's hilarious when he talked about American history. And he looked at me.
Oh.
He was like, what are you talking? I was like, that movie's fucking funny.
That's demented.
That yeah. So and he was like, what are you talking about? And I like, yeah, it was the whole thing. And then I was like, that was the wrong movie.
Yeah.
Completely wrong film. Just had his.
Mel Brooks, funny guy.
Mel Brooks, hilarious.
Edward Norton, funny guy.
What's your favorite Mel Brooks movie?
Oh, I love Dracula Dead and loving it. I'm not going to lie.
That's a wild pick.
I fucking love
it. I think that's a bad movie, and I think Peter McNichol is unbelievable in
that movie. No, that is a great movie.
Peter McNichol is next level. I think it's
so committed in that movie.
It's a boring answer. It's Blazing Saddles for me. Yeah, okay, it's Blazing Saddles.
I've only seen Spaceballs, so I have to.
Spaceballs is not bad.
I have to pick Spaceballs.
I promise I'm not. Next time I have I am tempted to make you watch French pornography. I'm
I'll, as I'll you are often tempted.
Me and for Kelly. Me and Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly makes you watch a lot of French
I have friends who accidentally choose movies to watch that just happen to have a lot of nudity.
They watched, or she made it, our friend Kelly made him watch Blue is the Warmest Color.
With,
oh, fuck,
we,
that yeah. is a long, are, sad movie.
Yeah.
We are both people who would go into that not knowing what was going to happen and then just be like, what the fuck? Is the right movie?
Literally, should I leave the room?
Did we pick the right movie?
Should the I sex go? Scenes go on for so long. Where it's like, still... are they okay?
It's like a 15-minute chunk in the middle of the movie.
I'm dry now.
There's two different ones.
Okay, back to Mel Brooks. I love Young Frankenstein and Men in Tights.
I do like Men in Tights. I do like Men in Tights.
See, Dracula has a special place in my heart because I would watch that with my best friend like every time I went to her house. And
I get that.
How dare you for not liking it, but it's fine. You're wrong. You're wrong.
I'm glad to be wrong sometimes. All right, by the fact that we're going off of like Mel Brooks tangents, I think we are at
tragedies of the 1800s.
What's our runtime so far?
Where the hell did that come from, J-Man? You are.
Hey, you give me wine. You get the historian.
HR is going to talk to you.
What's yours? You are lucky. Like, comparing to this movie, I could have gone off on 87 tangents about the Renaissance. I have read. Do you know how many books that I was forced to read about the Renaissance when I was in my master's degree?
This movie must have just been like burning your skin watching
it. Was
like,
really,
yeah.
So I used to work for a Templars historian, and it's really funny because like the
you just casually throw that out
so
there.
The Templars historians are really funny because like they want them for History Channel things, but they always want them to say crazy shit. So the professor I worked for would get hired, but then he'd refuse to say crazy shit. Because they lure you into saying crazy shit
every time.
So aliens.
How likely are they to have built the Parthenon?
But like the Templars were killed on or were like fucked over on Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
and they were accused of quote. This is my favorite Friday thing from history. They were accused of quote worshiping a certain cat.
Sure, Gonzo.
Guilty.
Look, I don't blame them.
Hey.
Cats are awesome.
And they were all on these trumped up charges. But the main reason they were on these trumped up charges is because they were a military order. They were allowed to be a bank. And so they had an insane, the French king was incredibly in debt to them. So he seized them and he accosted them because he owed them so much fucking money. And so that's the main reason is like everyone's like, oh, it's because of Jesus. Oh, it's because of this. It's no, it's because the French king owed them a lot of fucking money and he killed them and he took all their money. You know, it's just like it's just capitalism.
Yeah. It's always what it boils
it's
down
what
to.
What always happens in history.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's been a while since it's happened.
Well, but you should, if ever you want to be entertained, you should look up their charges, because it is like worshiping a cat, worshiping, like having sex with each other. It's like, it's all these
how
like,
dare they?
So cool people.
Yeah.
Okay, cool people stuff. Got it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have been allowed into the club.
No, no.
Is what I'm hearing.
You'd be left outside, like eating with your mom. Like,
I was in the chess team and the anime club. Excuse me.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. I was a drama kid, so I was really cool.
I was high drama.
You were high drama kid, yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's wrap up this episode.
We gotta rate this shit.
Each week we are ranking the movies and games we watch from a scale of good movie, good game, bad movie, bad game, to somewhere in between. Let's start with J-Ban this time. Where are we going on The Da Vinci Code?
Even though the chaotic part of me loves that this piece of shit made a ton of money.
Yeah.
And cannot say how much I love Tom Hanks. I fucking love Tom Hanks.
Love that man.
He did 9/11.
During the pandemic,
I think it was Chet.
I actually went back and I watched all his 80s movies, which are incredibly sexy, by the way.
He is hot.
Man with one wedge shoe, more like man with one boner.
It's so funny. That's the Bachelor Party one is just like the whole setup of the Bachelor Party is like, hey, I promise I won't have sex with a sex worker. That's literally the whole thing. That's literally
pretty
like
easy promise to keep in most situations.
Pretty easy promise to keep in like 24 hours. And like, and it's just like, it's no.
Does he keep it?
I don't know
it?
What was going on with the 80s. Like, they literally throw sex workers at him and he's dodging them. He's like, boom,
it's
left,
like Frogger.
Right, left, right.
I would have said Matrix, but you know.
Frogger, Matrix, both the same thing.
Back to my ranking.
Same universe,
I'm going
actually
to call it It's a Movie.
Oh, boy. We're defaulting to It's a Movie.
My favorite. Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to say bad video game. I'm going to say very bad video game.
Wow, okay. Justin, where are you going?
I'm
going
to say it was a movie that should have been an hour and a half, but props to them.
Well, you'd have to cut 2 full hours off the fucking movie.
Props to them for probably my only the only scenes that I was excited for and that I enjoyed, which was again the smart car chase.
Sure.
Smart car chase was
love
pretty
that
fun.
So
I used to drive a smart car. It was really fun.
It's like, this shit is great. That thing has
it's
like
out of nowhere.
45 horsepower. Good luck. Bad game.
Ashley, where are you landing on this one?
This is unrelated, but it is important for me to say.
Please
I
do.
I want to have sex with You've Got Mail Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, that is important to know before my analysis.
You're like, ooh, daddy, shut down my bookstore.
What about Joe's Volcano?
Joe versus Volcano?
Joe versus Volcano.
Yeah. Let's lava it up.
Sure. Throw him in there.
I'm going to give it a half Wilson.
Wilson!
Yeah, I'm going to give the movie a half Wilson. I didn't watch it before this episode.
That's fair.
I have
You've
watched
seen it.
It
You've
and
seen
I
it.
Did watch a recap.
Do you believe that Wilson and Tom Hanks had sexual tension?
They fucked.
They had more than
they
he
fucked.
And Audrey Tautou in this movie. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to start more rumors. I've also been in a room with Carly Kloss.
Oh, yeah.
And she has fucked Taylor Swift. I'm just saying.
And Wilson the volleyball. Yeah both of them. Yeah.
I'm three, starting lots of Hollywood rumors this episode.
Taylor Swift, Carly Kloss, Wilson the volleyball had
a
threesome.
Yeah.
It was filmed by Pete Davidson.
God bless America. and the video game, yikes. If you told me Michael Vick made that video game, I'd be like, yeah. So a lot of unnecessary violence. And
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. I'm just going to.
No, he was the dog guy.
He was the dog guy. You're thinking Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis?
Ooh. Michael Bay?
No,
the football player who abused his wife. I think that was Ray Lewis.
That's who I'm thinking.
I might be mistaken.
That's a terrible
apologies
joke
if it's not Ray Lewis.
I'm sorry, Michael Vick. Just beat dogs.
Yeah, that's not better.
Sorry.
No, I'm
both terrible people.
I'm really shitty people.
I'm coming out bad movie, bad game on this. I thought this movie was such a long, boring slog. I thought the game was just like, I mess with these kind
so
of games.
So
I love this kind of game.
I was really conflicted to say bad movie, but I feel like it made so much money that there's some sort of like chaotic Question mark. Like, so for
I appreciate
a movie,
it captured a cultural moment.
I think, feel like, honestly, because, like, I feel like this movie, like, it was banned in, like, I don't know, like 12 countries.
Yeah.
And, like, this movie, while we think it's hilarious and dull, like, this movie rocked people's worlds.
It really,
this people
yeah.
caused them to be, like, outside praying on their knees outside cinemas. And, like, this movie had a dramatic impact on people
yeah.
that weren't us. And so I find that so interesting. And so, like, it's such a dull movie
yeah.
to have such a disproportionate impact on people's religious lives.
Which was really more of an echo of the book than of anything the movie itself is doing. The movie is so tame and dull, but it is depicting some of these sort of quote-unquote controversial ideas that the book is putting forward. And, like, so it was just one of those singular cultural moments. Like, I'll always kind of respect it for being that. Like, this movie and this book lock me back in time in a really specific way, where in an era that does not have a lot of these cultural touch points for me. So, like, I think it's kind of cool that we have that to look back on, but it's bad. It's boring. It's mm-hmm. stupid. It's condescending. And it's just overall pretty obnoxious.
How did they hide the tomb there? That's the other
yeah.
thing.
I'm yeah.
like, there's got to be a janitor who's like, what is this?
What the hell?
So the truth,
the
though,
sacred the, janitor.
The truth, though, museums lose so much of their shit.
Oh,
like,
sure.
That's true.
There's like, I don't know, like, I had situations with the Field Museum in Chicago, and it was so interesting to see, like, behind the scenes, they stole, like, not stole, that they lost, like, hundreds of thousands of, like, of artifacts. Like,
whoopsie poopsie.
And it's not that they stole them, it's just that they, like, misplaced them. Because, like, these, like, if you've ever been in the back of a museum, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Museums only show, like, 0.1% of their collections, and it's ridiculous how much stuff they have behind the scenes. And I don't know, I'm an anarchist. Like, when I was studying anthropology, I thought, like, I get so pissed off, because, like, if you have 100 or 1,000 pairs of Roman shoes in Scotland, why don't you just give them to all the local schools
yeah.
to show? And to, like, there's so much hoarding of historical artifacts that is just so fucking stupid. Just, like, give them to have, like, little, like, little displays at local schools.
Yeah,
or,
little,
like,
exhibitions.
Or in some cases, give it back to the cultures they came from.
I'm not
there
talking about just
that's
like,
a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. I'm talking about things that they, like, for
like from
example,
antiquity.
In Scotland where I lived, they would have Roman shoes because the soil was very acidic, and they just had tons of them. They just had tons and tons of them, and they also had tons and tons of swords because people would donate their basket swords to the Marshall Field Museum, which I worked at, or I volunteered at.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just like museums should share their artifacts.
Yeah. I'm with
schools you. Schools need swords. Okay.
More swords in
schools.
Schools
need swords and schools
Listen,
need shoes.
If we train more teachers to use swords, we wouldn't have so many sword attacks in schools. That's all I'm saying. We just need more swords in the school.
That's what we've been saying since the beginning of time.
All right. Well, that wraps up our episode on.
I just want
to. Yeah, please.
I think what needs to happen next is a reboot of the Da Vinci Code franchise.
No.
With
Ian McGregor
and
Ian
Nicolas
McKellen.
Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Yeah, bring him back. He's still with us.
I would
He's
watch
still with
them.
Us.
He is. Hey, yeah. Bring him back.
And Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Look at that. We got it.
We got it. We cracked it.
Oh, God, there's a code.
I think Da Vinci did this code. I can't do it as well as you.
I can't tell if she's smiling at me.
Ashley, thank you so much for
being
here.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry. I'm starting a lot of rumors.
Go for it. Go for it. You have a movie out right now. You're in a movie. Where can people find this movie?
It may not still be out by the time this airs, but it's called Accidental Texan. It stars Tom's Hidden Church, Rudy Pinko, Carrie Ann Moss.
Love her.
Trinity.
Love her.
She should have been in that film.
She would have been better. She could have been the albino monk.
Yeah. Fun fact, in the movie I was in, the hair and makeup team tried to make her, like,
look like a normal person, and they tried to make her look less beautiful, and they couldn't do
it.
Because she's that beautiful.
She's fucking Trinity, man. Yeah. That's amazing. Ashley's awesome. Thank you so much for
being here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Be sure to tune in next week. We are talking about another sure-to-be-excellent movie. We're completing our Alex Pettyfer look back, I guess. The two movies we've talked about, Alex Rider, Operation Stormbreaker, a couple years ago. And next week we are talking about
Magic Mike?
Beastly. We're talking about Beastly has a Wii game.
I knew this was coming.
Yes, okay. This is a movie with Alex Pettyfer, Vanessa Hudgens, Mary-Kate Olsen, and it's a Beauty and the Beast thing, and it has a Wii game, and I have no idea what it's going to be, but our friend Whitney will be here to talk about it, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Can't wait to bust the Wii back out.
Yes.
Was the last one Grease?
It might have been Grease. Grease might have been the last like proper Wii game we played. Yeah.
You gave me Da Vinci Code.
I did not know you at the time. You would have had more fun with the Grease game.
Okay, or Beastly, at least get some abs up in there.
You sorry.
Have fun with the power going in and out during trying to play the Grease game.
Oh, yeah, that did happen. And
the whole thing in the darkness.
It was a thunderstorm. Yeah, that was like old school pioneering podcasting.
It's the only game we beat.
We did. We beat
that
one.
We don't know that we beat it because the power went out.
We beat Gotcha. We beat Gotcha as well.
Oh, yeah, we beat Gotcha.
Also, I beat Creed yesterday. We were only two levels away from the ending of that career mode of that game. Okay. So, yeah, we were close. I'm going to count it.
We just gave up on the game today.
We gave up.
We really did.
Just YouTube it.
The game gave up on us, okay? We could not engage with it. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We're cinemarcade at gmail.com or at cinemarcade at Instagram. You can write us a message or send us anything you want to talk about. And we will see you next week for Beastly, a movie I've never seen. I'm excited to get into it. Beastly.
You shall not pass.
Come gutters.
Come gutters. That's what we're going to end on.
Symbology.
Symbologist cum gutters. There we go. We're all happy now.
What is the symbology of a cum gutter?
Well, you see, it's forming the sacred feminine.
It's making the
sacred feminine.